Thank you, Bonnie. People need the Lord. How do we reach people who have lost their interest in Christian values and Christian concepts? How do you reach people? Jesus used a special formula. Jesus mingled with people as one who desired their good. And then he met their needs. And then he won their confidence. And then he said, I have a few more things to share with you. Why don't you follow me? There is no better way to open the doors to people's hearts than through the message of health. Once they realize what you have done for them, they are so grateful and they say, is there anything else that you want to share with me? Are there some other things that are important to my life? We have a great opportunity to attract people, even by our own level of health. I met another lady here the other day, and I wanted her to perhaps take a couple of minutes and to share with us what happened to her. Tell us your name. Where is our microphone? Bonnie?
I'm a teacher, I can talk loud.
I'm Deanna Fine.
Deanna Fine, okay.
Yes.
So tell us.
Tell you what?
Tell us what happened.
When I became a Seventh-day Adventist, I had grown up on a farm in Kansas. I don't think I told you this. So we butchered everything that we ate. I mean, I don't care if it was hogs. We ate it. That's what we ate. That's what I was used to eating. So I met a young preacher. He wanted me to marry him, and I was in the process of trying to become a vegetarian. Overnight, I decided I had to become a vegetarian when we got married because he was already a vegetarian. To me, vegetarian meant I just don't eat meat. That's it. So I got really good at just not eating meat. I didn't say not wanting it. I said not eating it. And what did I replace it with? Can you tell me what you would replace it with? Cheese, yes. I mean, lots of cheese. And oh, I could cook pasta 5-10 ways, you know. And I was pretty good at rice. I got pretty good at brown rice. Cheese on everything. Eggs, yes. I grew up going out and collecting eggs. I wasn't about to forget about eggs. And I didn't think it was bothering me that much. Until about 7 or 8 years later, I looked in the mirror. We both looked in the mirror. And we were getting heavier and heavier. And I reached about 200 pounds.
Oh,
I didn't tell you this, yes. And we decided, and this is after quite some time, that somehow we realized that he knew. And I would see him scrape away the cheese and stuff like that, but he was not going to tell me what I had to do. That was between me and the Lord, you know. Anyway, to make a long story short, my daddy had died when he was 49 of heart problems triggered by diabetes. Logic should have told me that I was in line for the same thing, but I was a vegetarian and I was going to be all right. Somebody asked me what he was talking to me about, and I said, he wants me to tell you what about a bad vegetarian.
You were a junk food vegetarian.
I was. Yes.
And well, what happened?
No, I wouldn't say junk. Well, yeah, because I cook cakes and all kinds of things. Yeah. Anyway, I will tell you this. I went longer than any of my brothers and sisters. They all had heart attacks. They had all this problem. And here I am really going pretty good, but I'm all of a sudden running out of breath. I'm all of a sudden not, and I'm getting bigger and bigger. And something's not quite right. And then my husband died 6 years ago. 1 year later, I had a massive heart attack. I had not given up the cheese. I had not given up the eggs. I had not given up all of that. I still was not a true, as far as I'm concerned, a vegetarian. Yes, I know. I was a lacto-ova vegetarian. And it's all right, I think, if you start that way. But you need to keep improving, and I did not. I was supposed to die from that heart attack, and it's only by the grace of God that I did not. And since then, I suppose I have had, it took me 2 years to recover. I had a quadruple bypass, and I was, I mean, they couldn't do anything to level out my blood pressure, nothing, so I could even take rehab. But by the grace of God, I am still here. I am on a pretty strict diet. I have gone from grazing to 2 meals a day, and I love it. I feel so good. I have lost weight, and it's all because I figured out if I wanted to live just a little bit longer, you do it God's way, not your way.
Thank you very much. That's a powerful lesson, isn't it? Remember I said to you, an airplane needs to have 2 wings. You had 1 sort of wing. You had the vegetarian thing, sort of, lacto-ovo. That is still not good enough, especially when it runs in your family, right?
Oh, so much, yes. My daddy died at 49, my mom at 61.
You sort of had 1 wing, sort of, but the other wing, the cheese and the processed foods and all the things that
right.
Mm-hmm. make you a well-rounded person.
Yes. I was that. I was
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
Did some of you see yourselves in that person?
Oh, I'm a good person. I don't eat corpses anymore. I don't eat cadavers anymore. But there's more to it than just becoming a plant food-centered person. We also have to move towards becoming a whole food person, the foods that God designed. And to cutting back on the grease, oil, and fat that Ellen G. White talks about, to cutting back on the sugars and the salt, and to move more towards a foods as grown, as delivered by the Master himself. That's what we need to do. Then you can expect those wonderful things that you're now experiencing. Didn't you wish you could have done this years ago? You could have saved yourself the heart attack. You could have saved yourself the quadruple bypass. You could have saved all of us as a society $150,000 for the bypass. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I need to get into our program, but we can maybe have you talk to us later on one more time. Before I do the question-answer period, I want to give you a quick story. I want to talk to you about a revolution. Revolution is usually a transfer of power, usually accompanied by means of illegitimate violence. So when you hear about a violence, you usually think of, when you hear the word revolution, you usually think about blood spilling. You usually think in terms of violence. Well, let me give you, however, today an example of a non-violent transfer of power. That revolution, it's called a velvet revolution, a bloodless revolution, that usually begins in the heart. It's executed by ethical and rational means, and it centers on values that are self-evident and truths that emerge on the basis of scientific evidence. So this is a different kind of a revolution. It's a revolution that comes from above, that comes into our hearts and expresses itself in non-violent means. Here's an example of a political velvet revolution. Czechoslovakia, November 17, 1989. The wall in Berlin has fallen down. The Soviet Union is in trouble. Czechoslovakia is one of their country's satellites that they dominate. And on November 17, 1989, the students in the universities begin to march. 3 days later, the people are marching. 2 more days, there are 500,000 people marching through the streets of Prague. And 4 days later, on November 24, 1989, the communist leadership is resigning. They're throwing the towel. And it's on November 28, just a few days later, that the Communist Party surrenders and relinquishes all political power. A new president takes over. The revolution has taken place, and all in 11 days, because the time was right. This was a political revolution where transfer of power took place without bloodshedding. We call this a velvet revolution. I want to take you now to a velvet revolution in the area of medicine. And that took place between 2013 and 2018, the last 5 years, where we are now changing the way that we treat chronic diseases. We're no longer treating chronic diseases by managing the symptoms with pharmacopoeia, with medications and with procedures. We're beginning now to look at, to manage the chronic diseases by taking care of the causes of these diseases. No longer putting on band-aids, which don't cure, but now we're going to help people to understand what is causing these problems, educating them, motivating them, and urging them to become involved in their own recovery. It began in 2013 and 2014 when some of my personal colleagues, Dr. Campbell, he wrote the book, The China Study, which we highly recommend, and Dr. Colwell Esselstyn from the Cleveland Clinic, his book, Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, we highly recommend, and myself, we became involved in helping the situation in Lithuania, this small country up there in the Baltic area. It was then, around that time and the following year, that we invited the Lithuanian medical and public health leaders, political leaders, to come to America and to visit Harvard University, to come to Cornell University, to come to Loma Linda University, and to come to our Lifestyle Medicine Institute, where we have our CHIP program, and to see for themselves what is happening in this country, where people are recognizing that we need to go beyond just putting band-aids on chronic diseases. It was at that time also that I was involved in developing what we call a prospectus, a special booklet that would list the finest people in the field of lifestyle medicine to come together and to help us to develop a new concept in Lithuania. This resulted in a major commitment by one of the largest universities in Lithuania to develop a master's degree program in lifestyle medicine, which was focusing on educating people in the area of nutrition, exercise, psychology, and how to motivate people. Here you see some of the vision that was created then. This is the president of the university. These are some of the leaders. These are all the deans of the different schools there. They're visiting now North America. These are some of the university professors. This is the group from Loma Linda University. And this is the group from Harvard University. And you see Dr. Campbell, he's a gentleman on the very left here. This is Dr. Campbell from the China study. They're beginning to see and understand the great opportunity we have to educating people, to motivating people, to providing education in the area of nutrition and lifestyle medicine to make them become involved in their own recovery from these culturally promoted diseases. The mission was carried out. This is the team of professional staff in Lithuania that are now involved in developing the new curriculum for the new master's degree in lifestyle medicine. And a year and a half, these are the students, physicians, nurses, public health officials that are enrolled in the master's degree program of lifestyle medicine. And it was only a couple of months ago, on March 22, 2018, when I had the great opportunity to realize the transfer of power, where the chronic disease solution was no longer just to give people a pad on the back and a band-aid and some medication and some procedures. No. It moved from the traditional medical approach to a new approach called the lifestyle medicine concept. And it was my joy to provide and to give the first graduates of the Master's in Lifestyle Medicine degree their diplomas. So we are on a new track in Lithuania, where now doctors, traditional doctors, will take care of infectious diseases, they will take care of broken bones, they will take care of diagnosing disease, they will take care of all these things that they know so very, very well. They're the finest doctors that we have anywhere. Traditional medicine can take care of these things very, very well. But we also recognize now that there's a new health professional that will take care of the chronic diseases, of heart disease, of high blood pressure problems, of diabetes, of obesity, of arthritis. These are now the new leaders that are operating under the supervision of a medical person to help people to understand that we need to become involved in our own recovery of health. You are the CEO of health. You need to take more responsibility. You can no longer wait for doctors to take care of you, because we have nothing to offer except for medications that you will take more and more and more, and you will die with these medications because they do not cure chronic diseases. So this is a very exciting revolution that is taking place, and already other countries are now coming to inquire about the project in Lithuania. Saudi Arabia is becoming interested in learning how can we start a master's degree program and maybe down the line a PhD program in lifestyle medicine. So God has been good in opening these doors and to providing now the best of medical care by the doctors that take care of infectious diseases, of broken bones, of acute care, of accidents, of diagnosing these. This is what they do so well. But we also have now specialists that work in the area of dealing with chronic diseases. So, that brings me to the question and answer period. How are we doing time-wise? It is 4:30. We have till 5:15. Okay, let's take a look. You have had a lot of questions turned in here. Oh my goodness. Oh, this is a bad beginning for me. What about our own Loma Linda foods that come from Cedar Lake, some of these vegan foods, aren't they high in sodium and other fillers? I don't really want to answer that question. Do you insist that I answer it? I mean, folks, they have lots of Loma Linda foods back there in the storage room. What are we going to do? Mr. Morricone, could you please bring me the neat products of the store? Neat products, ask them. Here's how we can best handle this. These meat analogs, those phony bolognese, they were created with a very, very good cause. They wanted to help people that were on this side of the river to get to the other side of the river. Thank you very much. And stay with us and announce some other things.
And I got that.
Yeah. So these were foods that were considered to be transitional foods. They were devised, and they go back all the way to Battle Creek and Dr. Kellogg, to help people that were totally committed to meat in their diet, and they wanted them to give them a substitute, something that they could also enjoy. And so they tried to copy the taste of these meat products, the sausages and so on, the ham and so on. And so they wanted to help people to go from this side of the river to the other side of the river. However, the people loved the taste of these foods, and they were called health foods because in some ways they were healthier than the original foods because they had no cholesterol, but there were other issues with that, right? So they took these so-called health foods from this side, and then they hoped these people would then move to the other side, except the people began to love these foods so much that they stayed on top of the bridge and never moved forward. Can you see yourselves in that situation? That wasn't the original plan, but it was a helpful plan to help people to transition to the other side. And so what we recommend is, you know, some of these foods are better than meats, but they're still not really foods as grown. They're still foods that have big nutrition labels on them. Some of them are higher in salt than others. Some of them are higher in fat than others. I've looked at some of the products. There are now healthier products coming out more and more and more. They're reducing the salt, they're reducing the fat, and these are some good developments. And so these are good foods if you want to help someone to transition to the other side. In your own family, if you're still meat eaters, there's a good way to maybe move in this direction. But don't forget to move away from the bridge after you've been there for a while. And even if you're vegetarians, it's okay to have maybe some of these foods as an occasional treat. Maybe treat is not a good word, but as an emergency supply, well, we should use them maybe as a condiment in small amounts. Then it's okay. But let us not fall for these products and eat them as we used to eat meat in large amounts, because there are better ways to do it. But they have a special place as a transitional food. There are some items that I just saw they have here. This is called Neat, N-E-A-T, egg. That's an excellent product, because you begin to read the label and it says, this is made of chia seeds and garbanzo beans. That's it. And these are excellent binders to take the place of eggs. So if you're used to baking some healthy cakes and you don't want to have the egg yolks in there, here's something you can use as a binder. Neat egg. Here's another one. This is called a Neat company. This is a healthy replacement for meat. All you have to do is stir some water in it, and it actually begins to congeal in such a way that it's almost like something that you're used to. This is largely made from pecans. So this is a high-fat product, about 50% of the calories is fat, but these are the good fat. This is the pecan, these are the nuts. And then, of course, the second item is garbanzo beans and oats and whole grain corn meal and some chia seeds. So this is probably as good as you can ever get something with a nutrition label on it. So this is, again, this package runs about $6-7, I understand. It's the equivalent of 18 eggs in terms of your binding power, okay? If you want to, I don't know if you can make this into an actual, an egg omelet. I don't know about this, but I'm learning myself more about this. But this certainly would be a good product to consider as we are moving towards a more sensible diet. What oils are acceptable? What oils are acceptable? The best oil that we recommend is WD-40. Please don't drink it. God did not make oils. Oils are, every gram is how many calories? Every gram is 9 calories. Since most people in this country are concerned about overweight, be careful with fats, because the fats you eat, the fats you wear. So use oils in small amounts. If you have some salad dressing and you want to go beyond just having the lemon juice and some of these things, you know, just use a little bit of olive oil, it's fine. But don't go overboard. Remember, it is still a fattening food. It's concentrated calories. Are there any questions? Let me make a point again, because some people have come to me, you cannot be right. Coconut oil is a good fat. It reverses Alzheimer's disease. Folks, that's fantasy. There is no scientific evidence for this. The worst fat you can possibly put into your body is coconut oil. We recommend coconut oil for your skin. It makes your skin nice and soft. It's nice on your scalp, but don't put it into your body. That's exactly what the Heart Association has said 3 months ago. They had a big conference on this issue. How can we stop people from believing that this is for their health? It is not. It's marketing from these countries of Indonesia and Malaysia. Yes, there was a hand. Oh, you're not talking about coconut oil. Peanut butter. Peanut butter is 80% fat. Just like almond butter. You want to use them in small amounts. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with eating a little bit of peanut butter. Just don't put it a quarter inch thick on your bread. All right? Are we still friends? All right. So when you have these special butters, almond butter and what else do they have? Peanut butter. Cashew butter. Yes, that's right. Just be aware that this is a good fat, but it has a lot of calories. That's why we are always recommend to people use nuts in small amounts. People come to me and say, how many nuts can I have? Folks, I'm not in the accounting business. I learned my lesson. Some years ago, I spoke at a camp meeting and a lady came to me and she said, oh, I love my sunflower seeds. How many sunflower, but they're high in fat, aren't they? I said, yes. How many sunflower seeds can I have every day? I said, 13. A year later, she called me up and said, Dr. Deal, I'm doing well. I'm counting every morning 13 sunflower seeds. Folks, that's not what I meant. It just means just have a few, that's okay. When you have some walnuts, just have them 1 ounce. It's sort of half a handful. You can have them every day, it's fine. When you have some almonds, that's fine. But don't overdo it, be careful. And don't use the salted ones. Are you with me there? The danger with these nuts is that you just don't take a half a handful. You always seem to be taking more, and that's the danger, because they're almost addictive, aren't they? So when it comes to oils which are accepted and acceptable, you know, take them in moderation. The less, the better. I've been a faithful vegan for some 20 years, but my cholesterol still runs high. 5 years ago it was 179, and this last April my lab showed it was 197. What can I do? I'm 71 years of age. Well, let's review. You give me the answers. Let's turn all the lights on here in the building so I can see all of you. Yeah. What causes and determines the blood cholesterol? What determines your cholesterol in your bloodstream? What drives it? Fat. Which kind of fat? Saturated fat. Where do you find saturated fat? Almost only in, almost exclusively in animal products. So this person is a vegan, so this does not apply to him. Of course, you can also have coconut oil and you can have palm oil, hydrogenated fats in cookies and all kinds of foods, breads and so on, which are part of a vegan diet, right? But they are pushing the cholesterol more than anything else. So you can be a vegetarian and still have these saturated fats that cause the liver to go into overdrive in producing cholesterol. There's something else that's called trans fats. Have you heard of trans fats? Trans fats is loved by the industry because they take liquid oils, and they harden them so that you can put them on your bread and so on and so forth, like margarine and so on. But you have to be very careful. The government says you shouldn't have more than 2 grams of trans fats a day, which is less than half a teaspoon, because we have found that probably 50,000 people die from heart disease just because of trans fats. As a matter of fact, they have been ruled out as of January 1 of this year. They are no longer allowed to be used in restaurant foods. So trans fats, be sure you read the labels. Make sure it always says trans fats, zero. Because you can be vegetarian and still have high cholesterol because these trans fats are powerful as these saturated fats to drive the cholesterol in the bloodstream up. There's one more factor, and that is if you don't, I mean, you can bring your cholesterol down by eating more legumes. Somebody came to me, sir, what's a legume? Can you please help me? What's a legume? Beans. What kind of beans? Green beans? Lentils, red beans, white beans, kidney beans, black beans, all kinds of beans, right? Speckled beans, all kinds of beans, lentils. They have what we call a soluble fiber content, and that actually helps you to move some of the cholesterol out of your system. It's not the saving grace, but it's helping you, okay? So if you are not a vegetarian, remember, the cholesterol in your bloodstream is determined by the amount of cholesterol that you eat. It only comes from animal products, and particularly from egg yolks. We want people to eat no more than 30, 40, 50 milligrams of cholesterol a day. One egg yolk has 220 milligrams, just one egg yolk. And some people have an omelette, and they break three eggs. And eat it by themselves or with their spouse. You know, three eggs, that's 660 milligrams of cholesterol. We recommend about 30 milligrams a day. So be really careful with egg yolks. That's why some people take the egg yolks and throw them away and they eat the egg whites, which is okay. Now, that brings me to another question then that somebody submitted here. This person is He's very technical and finicky. But the person is right. He said, Dr. Deal, how come you can recommend egg whites? It's just an animal product. And it's too much protein to start with because we have already too much protein. You should not really recommend egg whites. The person is right, technically speaking. But you know, if you want to have an occasional egg white, I'm not really too worried about it. Are you with me? You say, but I thought I want to be a vegan. Well, yeah, then you are not really, technically speaking, a vegan. But I mean, you're pretty close to it. And so I don't like to sort of argue over technical issues. I'm trying to help you more in the larger concepts. Try to cut back on protein, especially animal protein, especially meats, chicken, fish. These are not in your best interest, especially the way these animals are grown nowadays, especially the fact that some of these processed meats are directly now identified with causing colon cancer. When it comes to eggs, try to stay away from eggs. My wife brings eggs sometimes home. I said, honey, why did you do that? Oh, I just had such a longing for an egg white somehow. I said, okay. And I don't say anything. It's okay. I don't eat them because I put the sand lion there. I put the lion in the sand. I don't need to worry about this anymore. I've done this in the past. I don't need anymore. I haven't used it for 30 years. I don't need it. It has become part of my thinking now, you see. To my wife, well, once in a while, but I don't say anything. I just give her a hug. And I say, I'll be praying for you. Yes. Yes. Fish oil, that was sort of something that physicians recommended. That's old news. Okay, they have done larger studies now, and they have shown that this was not really scientifically defensible. We can get those omega-3s from other sources that are safer, like flaxseed. As a matter of fact, we recommend that everybody, when you have their breakfast in the morning, a hot breakfast, a hot cereal, a 5-grain or a 7-grain or 10-grain cereal, Bob's Red Mill, you know, just always put a couple of tablespoons of ground up flaxseed on top. It's wonderful. Now, people said to me, well, I always use flaxseed, but I don't grind it up. Oh, I said, you eat the whole seeds? I said, no, don't do this, because these seeds go right through the system. I mean, you can recycle them. They need to be ground up to be used. Okay. So Flexit would be one item that would be very, very helpful. Again, I usually recommend to people, don't start your program of Flexit Grounder with 2 tablespoons. Start with 1 teaspoon, because flaxseeds are really flaxatives. You know what a laxative is? So don't start with 2 tablespoons. But start with 1 teaspoon for a week, and then 2 teaspoons, and 3 teaspoons, and 4, and 5. And 6 teaspoons is the same as 2 tablespoons, right? Yeah. So do it gradually. What about gluten flour? Is it okay to use? Yeah, you can use gluten flour. It's not really necessary, but you, yes. I beg your pardon?
What if you don't use any oils at all and your cholesterol still stays up?
Okay. What if my cholesterol is up there at 180, 190, and I have already eliminated most of all the fats? I'm not really eating those. I don't eat eggs anymore. I've become a vegan. I really don't know what we can do there. Maybe using some more beans that will bring it down to the 160, 170 level. That probably is the only way to that I know of. Okay. This may be an unusual case. Sometimes we have people where high cholesterol levels run in families. They really do. And no matter what these people do, the cholesterol is difficult to move beyond a certain point. And so you have a little bit of a limitation there. And but I would be, I think you would be all right if you keep it at 180, 190, yes.
So oats break cholesterol down?
Oats help, yeah, oats can help. Yeah, that's true. You can use, we talked about beans, but in the same category you can use oats. Yes, oats would be helpful. Also, there's some other things that people can do to help a little bit in that. Okay? When you make some jam, don't you put something in there to thicken it? Pectin. Pectin. So fruits will also help you to lower the cholesterol a little bit, just like oats and just like what we talked about earlier. Okay, so pectin in fruits will have a similar effect. So fruits are always good for you to have. So, yes.
Wouldn't exercise help?
No, exercise does not help cholesterol. Contrary to what people say, exercise does not help cholesterol. You can do all the exercise you want, you cannot bring it down. Okay. There was a fellow by the name of Jim Fix. F-I-X-X. When I was working at the Pritikin Longevity Center, Jim Fix would write in. He would call in and he said, "Mr. Pritikin, why do you bombard these people with all these dietary restrictions? All they have to do is run 3 miles every day and they can burn it off." 6 days later, he was found dead of a heart attack in Vermont on a street. You cannot burn off cholesterol. You cannot reduce your cholesterol with exercise. You can do it with diet. Okay. You may be able to raise the good cholesterol a little bit by exercise. Maybe that's what you meant. Yeah, you can do that. But to lower the total cholesterol, or the most important cholesterol particle, which is LDL cholesterol, that's the real dangerous particle. You cannot change that with cholesterol. Gluten flour. Is it okay to use? Yeah, I see no problem with some gluten flour, unless you have celiac disease. Himalayan salt. How about Himalayan salt? Have you heard about Himalayan salt? Have you heard of pink salt? Yeah, you have all these different kinds of salts. Folks, these salts do not help you to lower your high blood pressure, because they all have sodium in them, and that's the particle that we're concerned about. These Himalaya salts, all these different kinds of commercially pushed salts, they may have a few little minerals left there, a little bit more than the commercial salt. But the mineral content, you don't have to worry about. Because when you eat fruits and vegetables, you have so many minerals, you don't have to worry about Himalayan salt, which may have a little bit less refinement than the typical table salt. Okay? Yes.
If you don't have to worry about your minerals, then would you
You don't need vitamin supplementation. Vitamin supplementation is probably doing more harm than good. When you read the book, The China Study, which is a top man in the country, he will show you exactly how we've been sold on the idea that we need to have food supplements. Let me just give you some ideas. If there is one area in America where the soil is depleted of certain minerals, and you live on the foods that are being produced on this area of soil-depleted minerals, yes, you would have to take some minerals, some supplements. But remember, today we get pineapple from Hawaii. We get mangoes from the Philippines. We get strawberries from California. We get grapefruits from Israel. Food that we eat in America comes from all over the world. And to assume that all of these areas have soil that is depleted of certain minerals is far-fetched. But you have these food supplement companies that always come to and say, well, the soil is depleted. Folks, just remember, soil can be depleted in some areas. It is. But folks, the food that we have today comes from all over the world. And to think that every piece of soil that brings these different foods to us is depleted of these minerals is really a fantasy. Okay? So we talked about Himalayan salt. How many meals do you recommend? 2 meals minimum, 3 times a day is just fine. It depends on your age. It depends on how you want to structure your life. There's an increased interest today in fasting, where people actually recommend that we fast every night and leave out the evening meal, particularly when you have overweight to worry about. We have always recommended that people should have their lightest meal at night. If you want to leave it just out and maybe have a breakfast that you're retired and you have time, you're not under time pressures at a job, you can have your breakfast at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then you have your big meal at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can do with 2 meals. When you have children, no. You want to have those 3 meals. When you are involved in exercise, you might want to seriously think about, and you're younger, you might want to very seriously think of maybe looking at the 3 meals a day rather than 2 meals. But 2 meals can have their place, and actually might have some advantages. Should you limit grains? Should you stop eating bread, or limit at least the pasta, the rice, and so on? Oh, folks, you can answer that question, can't you? If it comes out of the hand of a master designer, like brown rice, is it okay? Barley, as it comes out of the hand of God, is that okay? Did we talk about brown rice? Did we talk about whole wheat? Is it okay? Yes. These are some basic principles that we can use to filter out the possible answers to those questions. Okay? There are lots of books written, I shouldn't say lots, several books, 3 have been written about the danger of eating wheat. They talk about the wheat belly, they talk about the wheat brain. Folks, these are books that are written by people that have no scientific standing in the scientific community. They're just, one is a cardiologist who tells you don't eat wheat because wheat is differently processed today. And then he recommends have your eggs and have your meat. That's what you need to have to be in good health. Folks, you know, these are not people that have scientific standing. Some of you have come to me and you said, what about the eat according to your blood type diet? Have you heard of this? That book has been around for 30 years. It's still in stores. Written by a chiropractor. Think about this. I mean, just use common sense. People in China, for 4,000 years, they have lived a certain way. Many of these people, even today in the provinces, don't have a clue what their blood type is. How did they ever survive without knowing what their blood type is so that they can choose the right diet? Because this author says, if you have this blood type, then you need to eat meat. If you have this blood type, then you should be a vegetarian. If you have this blood type, then you should be a lacto-vegetarian. It all depends on your blood type. I'm writing a book right now, How to Eat According to Your Shoe Size. It's just as ridiculous, isn't it? So don't fall for these things. It sounds sort of sophisticated. Eat according to your blood type. Folks, forget it. Are chia seeds good to eat? Yes, of course they are. They're excellent. They're marvelous. Like 1/4 cup in a cup of almond milk to make a pudding. Yeah, it's great. It's very filling. Yes, it is. Should I limit these seeds? No, you can eat. How many seeds can you eat? Because they swell up. They collect water. And, you know, you have a few seeds and all of a sudden you have a whole cup full. It makes you also fill up here. This is a great way to go. Yes. No, you get your omega fats from other things. You get this from other things. You don't have to worry about omega-3. If you eat a diet, a balanced diet that we recommend, you have all you need. The only thing that you might be short of could be B12. That could be the only one. And actually, it's not a big issue because many of the foods like these almond milks and so on, soya milks, they have B12 added to it. Or if you buy certain cereals and, you know, you have some granola or some of these kind of things, just read the label. They often add some B12 to it. And even if you don't have these products, then just take a pill once a week or so. Take 1,000 micrograms. It's not a big issue. Or when you become a total vegan, no milk, nothing from an animal, it will still take about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years before the supply of B12 that is stored in your liver is being depleted. So you don't have to really worry about this. This is a straw man that is built up by the meat industry to scare you. But, you know, if you are lifelong vegan, you might want to check that out and have some B12 once in a while. It's a good idea to do as a little insurance policy. Yes? No, it's not, because the body just passes it out through the urine. There are people that have expensive urine because they take all these food supplements. They take all the vitamin C. It's just once the body has enough, it goes out. Yes? Vitamin D? Yeah. Yeah, vitamin D, it's best you move to California. It's called the sunshine hormone, okay? So, if you are short of sunshine, you might want to take some vitamin D. But in most cases, I think it's exaggerated because these vitamin D hormones are also stored for some time. It's not that you have to have sunshine every day. You know, so I think there's a lot of discussion about this. Dr. Campbell, in his book, The China Study, he takes big issue with that, while many other scientists don't. They say we need to have some extra vitamin D. So there's still some discussion on this. What does nuts in moderation mean? We already discussed that, didn't we? Right? We already talked about this. What about eating raw? Do you recommend lots of raw food or should it be cooked? Well, what do you recommend? There are some people that live totally on raw foods. How would you like to eat raw potatoes? How would you like to eat uncooked beans? Can you eat those? I said, oh yes, people tell me you can sprout them. So you eat sprouted beans. So if people want to go all the way raw, I think it's okay with me. But it's probably an exaggeration. Because some of the foods, when they're cooked, they release their vitamin content more readily. For instance, carrots. When you eat carrots that are cooked, the vitamin A in carrots is much faster and easier released to the body than if you eat raw carrots all the time. So I think it's a good idea to move into eating more raw foods. Most of us don't get enough raw foods. And if we could move towards 2/3 of our food being raw food, I think we're better off. Also, it will fill you up much better. You won't eat as many calories. So I would be in favor of increasing the raw portion of our meals. Although I don't think it's necessary to become totally raw food people. But if some people are, I'm not going to argue with them. How about plant lectins? There's a Dr. Gundry from Loma Linda on the television. Folks, this is the biggest hoax that we have ever had. I'm very sorry to even identify this person as being a Loma Linda man. He has no scientific standing. He will tell you, don't eat beans, don't eat these kind of things. Folks, we have clear indications from many, many scientific and also extraterrestrial sources. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a lady by the name of EGW. She never said, stay away from these lectins. These are substances in beans and others. Folks, ignore this. This is the most often received question at Loma Linda, where people ask, what about your Dr. Gundry, who's recommending? He's on television almost every day. And he has a big clientele in Palm Springs and Santa Barbara. We do not think that this is a very legitimate voice for Loma Linda or for Adventist people. Oh, here's the question about egg whites. How can you say egg whites are okay when Dr. Michael Greger, in his book, How Not to Die, points out that there's a risk of eggs for prostate cancer and even for eating too many proteins? Well, I think we have talked about that. I think less is more, right? I have two stents in my coronary arteries. Is following the CHIP diet all I should do? Exactly right. That's what you want to do, because 30, 40, 50% of these stents are no longer functioning within 6 months. I've seen patients with stents that had 9, 12, 15, 16 stents. Every few months they get another stent put in for $25,000, $35,000 just to keep a person alive, to open up these narrowed arteries. Folks, that's not what you need. You want to be on a very, very simple diet, and that will keep those stents open. Otherwise, they close up again. And of course, you always want to add some exercise to it. Just like we talked about diabetics, they should be on an exercise program 1 hour a day, and they should walk after every meal for 5 to 10 minutes immediately after the meal to push down these blood sugar levels. How much exercise would be good? Well, you have heard the government recommends 10,000 steps a day. You should probably walk every day about 2 miles. 2 miles a day, that would be about 20 minutes per mile. That would be about 20, 40 minutes for a middle-aged, dignified walker. If you're a young person, you can manage that in 30 minutes very easily. So 30 minutes of vigorous exercise would be perfect. For our dignified folks here, our dignified walkers, you know, try to put in about 45 minutes a day. You can do this in 2 segments, or you can do it in 1 segment, whatever you want to do. Yes? I beg your pardon? Oh, little Debbie. Oh, is this your granddaughter? Is this your granddaughter, little Debbie? Or who's little Debbie? It's a company near Chattanooga? I see. I know little Debbie's very, very well. I was just pulling your leg a little bit there. Stay away from little Debbie's as much as you can. It's not in your best interest. It's a totally refined food, and even the fats in these products are saturated fats and palm oil and so on. Folks, little Debbie's do not really represent the best diet. Yeah, okay. Folks, they're recording me, so I'm trying to be a little careful. Because these things will go back to Chattanooga. Are you with me there? But you know the answer. We have given you basic principles. You can integrate these questions into that framework of finding the right answer. Little Debbie's don't belong, really. in a healthy diet. Okay. I'm still confused about the oil controversy. Some health practitioners tell me to eat coconut oil and olive oil. Others say no. Do you have the answer for this? We have discussed that, right? Remember, marketing, advertising. Is a diabetic... Well, let me see. Doctors keep telling my parents that all carbs are bad for diabetics. Have you heard this before? Absolutely. That's what every physician, just about every physician that deals with diabetes, and almost every diabetes educator will tell you, don't eat carbs. What's wrong with that suggestion? What's wrong with that recommendation? The different kinds of carbs. What kind of carbs do we have? Simple carbs, these are called sugars. And you have complex carbs, they're called, come on, starch. Now, you can have simple and you can have complex carbs, and they're both bad if they're refined. So if you have unrefined simple carbohydrates, like you have sugar in a banana, enjoy it as a diabetic, especially when you eat it with some fiber-rich food that comes with it, maybe a little dish of brown rice, because you add now some extra fiber to it, and the banana sugar is being taken care of very slowly, because the body has to first take care of the fiber. Remember I said to you, fiber is fabulous. Fiber is magical. So when it comes to starch, well, starch is a complex carbohydrate, but it's very dangerous if it's refined starch. So when you have white flour, like you have it in a cake or in a cookie or in a pizza, that's refined white flour, that's refined complex carbohydrate. That's not what you want to eat. But if you have whole, unrefined complex carbohydrates, such as whole grains, what happens there? It's the fiber in the original food, in the native food, that causes a very slow breakdown of the starch to sugar, and the diabetic can handle that beautifully. Do you understand? Yes. What about soda in?
Soda.
Oh, baking soda. Oh, that's such a small amount. I wouldn't worry too much about that. There are other reasons why we perhaps like to stay away from soda, because it has aluminum. But by and large, a little bit of soda is not hurting anybody. I thought you were talking about soda pop. That's different. Okay. The doctors tell my father that he should not eat any baked potatoes or any whole grains, because all complex and refined carbohydrates are all bad for diabetics and should not be eaten. Yeah, this is what we teach the diabetics. It's true. And we have no success in the treatment plan when we tell people, don't eat any carbs. Because if you don't eat carbs, what can you eat? Fats and protein. That's all you eat. These are the three things that food is made up of: protein and carbs and fat. So when people say diabetics should not eat carbs, what can you eat? Fats and protein. What's wrong with fats and diabetics? Remember I talked to you about how the insulin as a key can no longer work the locks properly, because the locks are gummed up and the gum is fat inside the cell, which hinders the communication within the cell and the outside. And shall we recommend more protein? What's wrong with protein? Excess protein. We as Americans consume twice the amount of protein than the body should have. We need about 50 to 60 grams. Most Americans eat 100 to 120 grams a day or more. And that puts a special burden on the kidneys. So kidney disease is very, very common in our society. You see all these new buildings going up for diabetes dialysis, for kidney dialysis? It's going up, it's everywhere. Gout, promoted by protein intake. protein intake, especially from animal sources, is probably one of the most dangerous constituent of our diet. So less protein is highly indicated. Yes? I beg your pardon? About calcium? I see. Yeah, saying thank you. I mentioned to you there are many, many problems with animal protein. One of them is, as you pointed out very, very wisely, it sucks out the protein from your bones. Okay, calcium. What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. It sucks out the calcium from your bones because the protein, animal protein, is very acidic, and so it leaches out the calcium to neutralize that. Yes. Oh, can you please help this lady here? We all have the answers, don't we? What can we put on a baked potato if we don't put butter or margarine or sour cream or cheese on it? What can we put on it? Salsa? Would that be okay? Salsa? What else? Beans? Would that be okay? How about lentil soup? Did we talk about that? Would that help you? Did that give you some ideas? Okay. And remember, folks, when you cook, always make sure your eyes are feasting too. Remember that little sprig of parsley. Grow it in your garden. You can have it there all just about half year long. Put a little parsley on top of there, or some of the other things that we have, oregano. You can grow this in pots very easily. You come to my house, we have 6-7 different pots there of all kinds of different herbs. And when my wife says, well, you're in charge of the salad today, we have some guests coming, I said, great. I just go out there, I know where the salad is, and I know where all these different herbs are, and I just snip them into my little container here, and then I have a special herbal scissors. It has 5 blades. All just like this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And all I do is I take my parsley or I take whatever I have, snip it once, and it cuts it all in small pieces. Look at it on your Google for it. Herbal scissors. They're absolutely a lifesaver and a time saver. By the way, I want you to know that I'm cooking. My wife always brags about me when we have guests coming to the house. She says, my husband, I mean, he's German, but he's a different German. My husband, he prepares 1/3 of all the meals in our family. And everyone says, wow, how did you do that? I trained him. What she doesn't tell them is that I just make the breakfast. I put something in the crock pot at night, in the morning it's done. It's easy. I mean, I can make breakfast in 10 minutes. It's not no big deal. But she, and I said, yes, every third meal I prepare in my house. Yes. Oh, let's first go through the questions here, because otherwise we don't get through the questions here, and then I'll open it up for the floor a little bit more. I know some people that have multiple ailments, such as diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, fibromyalgia, depression, heart disease. What is the effective treatment for all these diseases? Is there one treatment that helps all? What's the answer? Yes! When you treat the body with a proper diet, it's exactly the opposite of what you do with medication. Because the medication is very specific for a particular disease. So when you have high blood pressure, you take a high blood pressure medication, and it hits one particular system, one particular enzyme system, and it helps you to lower the blood pressure. That's what the drug does. When you have a drug that is designed to lower your cholesterol, that's basically what it does. When you have a drug that's being used for diabetes, you take the metformin, that's what it does. The metformin will help you to lower the blood sugar somewhat, right? When you take the diet, it takes care of all of these things because it affects the whole body, not just one system, not just one enzyme system. That's the magic. You take care of one of these diseases, chronic disease, and it would probably take care of most of these diseases at the same time. Didn't you see that video that I showed you? And Dr. Greenlaw, a professor of medicine in the University of Illinois, talked about this. You take care of one, you take care of all chronic diseases. That's the magic of diet. You don't have to worry about side effects. How is the CHIP program done and how much does it cost? Oh, now I didn't write this for myself, but I appreciate the question. You know, the CHIP program stands for the Complete Health Improvement Program. I started this in 1988. And the first person in my program, one of them was Bob Anderson. Remember the story of Bob Anderson? Yeah. So this started in 1988. And then I turned this program over about 6 years ago to the Sanitarium Food Company in Australia, which has about 2,000 employees. And they said, we will put $4 million into the video program to make it a brand new video program, because we had 16 videos before that we used to give to trained people to run the program. You know some of these things. And now it's about 19 plus a graduation video. That's 20 videos now, brand new tapes, brand new books. Everything comes together with this. And this is now a program that all you have to do is, if you want to reach out into the community, you want to reach your church members, all you have to do is, you have to learn one important thing. You have to find the on button and push it. That's it. That's it. We will be sending you a thumb drive that you just plug into your computer. You have a screen and you see the program. You see me there, full size. You see, Darren Morton, my good colleague and young colleague, beautiful guy. He's the heartthrob. All the women fall in love with him. I'm just number two now. Now I understand how Saul felt when David came along. Remember? No, just an outstanding, we have an outstanding crew there. They've done an outstanding job. These are the finest videos that you can find anywhere. And the program, we are just now bringing out a new way of making them available to you in a very simple way through this thumb drive. All the books are on the thumb drive. You don't get any more printed material. It's all there. It makes it more cost effective, and we can ship it very easily around the world. And the new delivery system will probably be available sometime in the late fall. And the cost would probably be around less than $100. Now, you can go to the Pritikin program, and you can go to a very fancy spa there and in Florida, and you get 4 hours, 4 weeks, and you get about 30 hours of education, not dissimilar to what we're giving you on those thumb drives. And you can go there for $21,000, 4 weeks. The spouse is free. $21,000. And they teach you how to become a semi-vegetarian. Okay? Nathan Pritikin used to be a vegetarian, but the new owners, they have now introduced all kinds of meats into the program. It still is an excellent program. It still is a good education program. But it's also $21,000. You have medical services there. So it's a good program, but it's $21,000. You can also go to the Black Hills. To the Black Hills in South Dakota. Beautiful place, beautiful facility. I've been there several times. My medical colleague, Dr. Kelly, runs the program there. They use our videos for the education of the people. You can go there for a 12 or 19 day program. And they usually charge, I don't know what the exact price is, but you know, you live there, so it's several thousand dollars. Or, Mr. Morricone, can you please take the mic here? Could you please, do we have some video that we can show?
No, I don't. Wellness camp.
Okay, yeah, let's give you a few minutes here.
All right.
The green
video, the green mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here. All right, thanks. Wellness camp. The best kept secret here in West Virginia is $695. And well, you don't get what you get at the $21,000 place, but you get about 10 full days. You get your blood work in the beginning and your blood work at the end. And everybody gets improved as far as their cholesterol, their blood sugar, all those things. Mostly it's just diet and exercise, just like Dr. Deal has been telling you. So does anybody have any questions? They're passing out these little brochures, and it begins the end of July 29, I think.
Let me ask a very undignified question.
Yes.
Do you serve at these special wellness retreats? Do you serve a special therapeutic diet?
Just the foods as grown, basically.
So you don't have a lot of refined foods?
No. No, we don't, actually.
You don't have these, what do you call these? These potato tad?
Tater tots? No,
tater
we
tots?
Don't. If you're needing tater tots, you better not come.
Okay, so you don't find them there, right?
No.
How about those, what do you call this, Adventist, those, they look kind of pinkish, look like ham. Stripples.
No, if you need those, you can't come either.
Oh, okay. So this is a really good program. And, you know, I really would like to recommend to all of you to come. Would it be best to come as a husband-wife team if there
are... That would be fantastic.
As a couple?
A discount. Yeah, it mentions a discount.
No. Let's not go there right now. So we have a... When is it coming up? Is it in the summer?
Yes, it's July 29 it begins, and it ends August 10.
July 29 to August 10?
Correct.
Whom do they see if they have an interest?
Myself, okay. Or you can call the office.
So this is the health director of the conference. You'll be sure you see... First name is?
Daniel,
yes, Daniel. Be sure you see Daniel. And you all have now some brochures?
Yes,
most of you? There's some more left there.
Just pass them out, yeah. And I have that story of the cab driver that if anybody wants that, they can raise their hand, the cab driver story.
Oh, very, very good. Very good.
Thank you.
We're just about finishing up here. How long has it been since you had a potato chip? Oh, you become very personal. I had them at a camp meeting when they served the haystacks. Okay, these are potato chips, really. Is stevia good for use instead of sugar? Yes, probably is. Stevia comes from plants, and they're very, very sweet. What about diet drinks? We do not recommend diet drinks. There's some problems with that. Are there any supplements that we should take? No, not really, unless you need to have some vitamin B12. And that's basically it. And it is 5:22. We're 5 minutes over. I'd be very happy to see some of you if you have more questions. But otherwise, I have really enjoyed meeting all of you, being with you. Tomorrow morning is our last lecture. I will be taking off here at 11 o'clock sharp to drive to Columbus to catch my plane there. So I chose Columbus because they had the cheapest flights. So I'm leaving my car there, and I'll be home with Lily at 11:30 at midnight. So keep me in your mind so I don't fall asleep on that 6-hour trip to Columbus. Okay, but I see you tomorrow morning at, 9:30? 9:30? I have a very special message prepared for all of you. Bring all your friends, bring everybody here. I have a special message for you tomorrow. It has been a real joy to be with you and experience the beauty of your state. And we wish you all the very, very best as you have some tools now available of how to live and live the abundant life. God bless you all. Thank you. Oh, yeah, this is a good question here. Should all foods be organic? If you have that extra money, I would recommend go organic if you can get organic food. If you don't quite have that extra money, I think do the best you can. It's going to be okay. But if you can have the option to go organic, it probably is better. Okay? That's what I do at home.